Good morning, everybody. So this week we continue with the fake news series. And let me tell you, that's an overused phrase these days, isn't it? Pastor Laura Allen talked about that last week, too. And, you know, frankly, I just echo what she said. I'm tired of hearing it. I'm sick and tired of seeing it. I'm tired of a lot of things I see on the media these days. In fact, it's become so hard to find accurate, non-biased news reporting that most times I just don't watch any of it at all because I just get in this foul mood, which is bad because I truly feel it's our duty to know what's going on in the world. Amen? But sadly, even with all the news channels out there and in our cell phones and our social media accounts, it's tough to know what's truly going on. Let's face it, type something into Google and we can find all kinds of truth out there. I mean, type my name, Travis Abercrombie, into Google and you'll still see on some sites that I'm a 26-year-old singer-songwriter from South Carolina. I mean, I wish, right? I wish. We know there's all kinds of ridiculousness out there. You know, I don't know about you. This is another side note, but I don't know about you, but I'm one of those crazy people who love to go and wander the aisles of the grocery store. Anybody else like that? That's probably how I ended up like this, you know, truthfully. That and I used to pop Flintstone vitamins like they were Pez candies, but that's another story. But anyway, I love the part where I come to the checkout line. The checkout line where you get to see the tabloid headlines. You know, anybody else out there with me? Don't leave me hanging up here. We know we love those headlines. I mean, take this one, the first one I saw. Alien Bible found, they worship Oprah. True statement, right? And I love the top left. It says, Freaky Good Friday, God shows up at a mall. And God looks kind of like Ric Flair there. And I think, like, woo. And lastly, my favorite headline, Hubby's Bad Breath Kills His Wife. I tried to kiss her and she fell to the floor. I love the subline. I tried to kiss her. I love it. It was the cause of death, pure and simple, says the doctor. I know we can be fooled into thinking anything's true these days. Now, these are crazy and silly examples, I realize. But again, I think Pastor Lauren Allen did a good job last week of talking about the serious stuff out there, the serious fake news. There's a lot to be worried about, all joking aside. There's a lot to be concerned about, you know, and the thing is the reason why we need to be concerned about it is because we can be led astray really quickly. We can be led astray really quickly into buying into something that's just not real. It's not true. So we have to be diligent. You know, even with the Bible, y'all, we could take a single verse and completely pull it out of what it was meant to say, completely pull it out of context and cause a lot of damage. Believe it or not, even a verse out of the Bible, out of the context, can cause a lot of damage. Take, for instance, this week's breaking news fake headline. Let me know if you've ever heard this. God will never give you more than you can handle. Anybody heard that before? Truthfully, I've said it myself before, not back in my day. So let me ask you, though. Kind of like in our Parched series a few weeks ago. I mean, if you're barely hanging on by a thread and life's just got you beat down, have you ever heard somebody come up to you and just say, well, bless your heart, but God won't give you more than you can handle? What does that make you feel like? There's probably a lot of truth in that slide there. I bet, you know, I'm just kidding, though, so don't write me any emails. I mean, don't be slapping anybody, but it makes us feel like that sometimes. Yeah, because it does give us, when people say that, it gives us an inaccurate view of God's word. It gives us an inaccurate view of God and what life, what can be thrown at us in this life. Because we live in a fallen world. And we're going to have pain and we're going to have suffering. But when we say, God won't give you more than you can handle, that's just hurting the heart of God. a good friend of mine who's here today has been coming into the sanctuary at Malden Methodist for months and months and months, multiple times a week. And he's just praying and crying out to God for his sister who's been fighting schizophrenia and has been out in and out of hospitals. And we've cried together, haven't we, brother? We've cried together. Folks, he went past his breaking point a long time ago. He's been given way more than he can handle. But in the midst of all of it, he's trusting, say this with me, that God can handle it. It's kind of like that old Footprints poem, you know, that we know of, where it's that God puts us on and he carries us through those times. He knows, and my buddy knows this, and he's experiencing it. Even in the deepest suffering and pain, he's experiencing the sweetest and the closest communion with God he's ever had. I know that many of us know other examples that we could think of. You know, one time a well-meaning church member came up to a friend of mine who had a special needs daughter who was just an incredible challenge. And that well-meaning church member came up and said, "Well, God must have thought that you could handle this child, so he gave her to you." Like, oh, man. What a devastating thing to say. You know, we mean well sometimes, but many times we just get it wrong. We just get it wrong. Google the phrase, "God won't give you more than you can handle." And most likely 1 Corinthians 10:13 pops up, which is interesting because I did the same thing. And a lot of people attribute it to Mother Teresa. But what's interesting is half the site said that she did say it and other half the site says she didn't. So what is it? I want you to know today that 1 Corinthians 10:13 does not say what we may think it says. We've bought into and sometimes we have put out fake news, not good news. God never once said, "I think you're strong, so I'm going to heap problems on you. I'm going to heap more problems on you than you can handle." He just didn't say that. So how do we get this messed up? How do we get this messed up? Well, first of all, we don't know our Bibles. We live in the most biblically illiterate culture of our history of our nation. People just don't know the Bible. And because they don't know the Bible, they tend to buy and sell fake news. Sometimes we just, again, take things completely out of context to suit our needs and to suit our agenda. So a good rule of thumb. A good friend of mine, a pastor, retired Pastor George Scott, gave me this good rule of thumb. He said, follow the 20-20 rule. And just the 20-20 rule real quickly is just whenever you have a single verse or something you want to know about, read 20 verses before and read 20 verses after, and then you'll get a more accurate view of what the text actually may mean. And you know what? Sometimes we even have to go further than that. Sometimes we have to read the entire letter. Sometimes we have to seek historical outside sources to know what was going on in that day. Sometimes we have to even read the front of the Bible to the back of the Bible to get a more accurate view of what that text may mean for us today. So there's a lot of work. There's a lot of diligence. So we've been saying, you know, make sure that you learn the Bible in community, right? Get with other people. Get a study Bible. Get commentaries so that you know what the real truth is. So with that said, I want to just take an example of what we're at after today. 1 Corinthians 10:13. I want us to just take that single little slice of text. Paul says, "No testing is overtaking you that is not common to everyone. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tested beyond your strength. But with the testing, he will also provide the way out so that you may be able to endure it." And does God say here that he won't give you more than you can handle? Well, if you just take that single slice, you may think so. Right? Now, this is the NRSV translation, which is a more literal translation. But most other translations, even the more literal ones as well, use the word temptation or tempted instead of testing and tested. Okay? Today I'm going to be reading from the Message translation, which is more conversational and easy to understand. But I found it fascinating and illuminating. Eugene Peterson, who did the translation, uses both the words testing and temptation in his translation. So here we go. 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 13, which isn't even 20 verses, y'all, but just to give you a better understanding. Paul says this. Remember our history, friends, and be warned. So he's recounting Israel's history here, okay? All our ancestors were led by the providential cloud, the cloud of God, and taken miraculously through the sea, which is the Red Sea. He parted at the Exodus that they walked through from Egypt. They went through the waters in a baptism like ours as Moses led them from enslaving death to salvation life. They all ate and drank identical food and drink, meals provided daily by God. Hundreds of thousands of people every day. They drank from the rock, God's fountain for them, and stayed with them wherever they were. And the rock was Christ. You see, Paul is writing in a post or in a Christian lens because he knows that Christ is and was and is to come. Christ is eternal. Amen. But just experiencing God's wonder and grace didn't seem to mean much. Most of them were defeated by temptation during the hard times in the desert, and God was not pleased. The same thing could happen to us. Listen, y'all. We must be on guard so that we never get up caught up in wanting our way as they did. And we must not turn our religion into a circus as they did. First, the people partied, then they threw a dance. Now, I want to pause there for just a minute, because what he's saying is this type of hypersexual pagan celebration actually happened with the Israelites when they fashioned the golden calf when they left Egypt. And Moses was up on the Mount Sinai. They only knew like what pagan people did when they worshiped, which was pretty bad. And the same thing was happening in the city of Corinth that Paul was writing to. You could look out the window and see pagan worship and pagan stuff going on all over the place. So let's continue. He said, we must not be sexually promiscuous. They paid for that. Remember, with 23,000 deaths in one day. We must never try to get Christ to serve us instead of us serving him. They tried it and God launched an epidemic of poisonous snakes. We must be careful not to stir up discontentment. Discontentment destroyed them. These are all warning markers, danger in our history books written down so that we don't repeat their mistakes. Our positions in the story are parallel. They at the beginning, we at the end, and we are just as capable of messing it up as they were. Don't be so naive and so self-confident. You're not exempt. You could fall flat on your face as easily as anyone else. Forget about self-confidence. It's useless. Cultivate God confidence. I love that. And here we go. Here's our verse. No test or temptation that comes your way is beyond the course of what others have had to face. All you need to remember is that God will never let you down. He'll never let you be pushed past your limit. He'll always be there to help you come through it. This is the word of God for the people of God. So I hope we'll never look at that 1 Corinthians 10, 13 verse the same ever again. Because when we read this scripture in its context, going back to what he was saying before that verse, there's no way that we could ever think that God was talking about suffering. There's just no way that it's talking about that. You know, it's just not accurate. I read a great blog about this the other day as I was studying. It said that all throughout Scripture, people were handed impossible tasks. Right? Moses freeing thousands of Israelites. David slaying a giant. Joseph sold into slavery and becoming the most powerful man in Egypt. Daniel in the lion's den. His three friends in the fiery furnace. Mary becoming a pregnant virgin. You know, the Apostle Paul even wrote a second letter to the Corinthians later and said, we think you ought to know about the trouble we went through. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure, and we thought we'd never live through it. In fact, we expected to die. But as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to fully rely on God who raises the dead. So you catch that? We can't rely on ourselves. It's God who carries us, and it's God who rescues us when we're suffering. But Paul's not talking about suffering in 1 Corinthians 10:13. He's not talking about pain and loss. He is talking about temptation and testing. Quite different. Quite different. In fact, the same Greek word for testing is used in the story of Jesus being tempted and tested in the desert by Satan. Don't you love the fact that God in human flesh knows what it feels like to be tempted? Don't you know that God, isn't it awesome that God knows what it feels like to be human yet without sin? What grace. You know, God didn't have to do that, but he did. But like the Israelites in our story, we have a tendency to witness something miraculous. You know, for the Israelites, it was the Exodus. For us, it is the power of Christ at work in our daily lives. But after some time passes, for the Israelites, it was a matter of days and weeks, and they were already ready to go back to Egypt. For us in our daily lives, sometimes we just settle back into old ways, even after an incredibly spiritual high day or something. We'll come back and we'll settle into old ways, or we'll get complacent. We neglect the perfecting or sanctifying grace of the Holy Spirit in our lives. In our human nature, we even tend to settle for a what have you done for me lately type of mentality with God. And if we have that kind of posture, God is going to test us in order to humble us. To get us to realize that we have nothing, truly nothing apart from him. And in today's text, Paul is again warning us, danger, trying to get his readers to learn from past mistakes. You know, some things are out of our control, but some things we can control. And one of the things we can control is our choices. Our choices and our attitudes. And our full reliance on God's grace. You know, we have the freedom to make choices, hundreds of choices every single day. And our text says that when the temptation comes, that God will give us a way out. We just have to choose it. Sometimes that means, like Jesus in the desert, we just start throwing scripture out loud and to fight the devil. Sometimes that means we have to call an accountability partner and have them pray for us. Sometimes that means that we just have to set filters on our internet access so that we don't have access to it. Sometimes it means we just have to take the computer to the trash. It takes drastic measures and drastic choices to take God's way sometimes, especially in today's culture where we are just bombarded with temptation. In every form, in every direction, right? We just have to choose God's way. And that is hard to do sometimes. You see, during the time in the wilderness, just after the Exodus, God said to Moses in Exodus 16:4, he said, I'm going to test the Israelites to see if they will obey my commandments. To see if they would truly be his people. His holy nation, pointing all the rest of the pagan nations to himself. Well, guess what? They failed. And if we're honest, so do we even as Christians. How did they fail? How do we fail? Because just like the Israelites, we get too wrapped up in ourselves. We get too wrapped up in ourselves, in our immediate needs, in our immediate desires. Paul is warning us here that He's warning us that Israel had been delivered from Egypt by a mighty hand, by the power of God, just as that we, the Christian believer, have been redeemed from our sin. Paul's warning us that Israel ate bread from heaven every single day and drank the water that God provided, just as we Christians nourish ourselves in the spiritual substance that God provided. Kind of what Laura Allen was talking about last week with communion. He's warning us that Israel experienced God's miracles, and yet they failed when they were tested in the wilderness. And you know what? There are consequences for that. In fact, only the faithful Caleb and Joshua were able to see the promised land. The rest of the whole generation were so disobedient that they never even got to see the promised land. They died in the wilderness after 40 years of wandering. So what's this mean? It means we must be careful. We can't think that we've ever arrived. We can't think that we can never come to a place in our Christian walk where we are free from temptation and potential failure. If we do that, like our text says, we can fall flat on our face. Flat on our face. And for those who are in Christ, this is the good news. Our eternal salvation, our past, our present, and our future sins are atoned for. Amen. But it doesn't mean that here in this life, y'all, that we, by our choices, cannot make a giant mess of things. If we continue to cling to sin. I mean, God's not going to send poisonous snakes, Lord willing. But he is going to allow us to live in the consequences of our sin and our choices. You know, I saw a great church sign on Facebook the other day that my buddy posted. It said this: you can't defeat your demons if you still enjoy their company. So we must make hundreds of choices a day to take God's way out and not participate in the works of darkness. And we know what those are. If we would just listen, we know we shouldn't go to that movie. We know we shouldn't be watching that. We know we shouldn't be talking like that. It's tough. But we've all seen people fall from grace and into moral failure, and it is devastating. People we thought we knew, people who we thought could never do something like that. And most of the time, we look with sadness, hurt, and anger toward the person who got caught and say, I'd never do something like that. Watch out. Because the devil's alive and well. And he's going to attack us when we are most vulnerable. Or when we're consumed with ourselves. Most of the time, we don't wake up one day and decide to do something completely outside our character. It's all because we've culminated little choices day by day. We've allowed little things to hang around and survive in our hearts and souls. And then, bam, we've done something completely destructive. You know, Satan gives us these little thoughts, and sometimes they come out of nowhere, don't they? And if they're allowed to fester and to grow, they can literally destroy our life and the lives around us. I hate to say it, but Paul is saying these things. These things happen to them, the Israelites, as examples for us. They were written down to what? Warn us. Paul says, flee from sexual immorality. Flee from the worship of idols. That's a good choice. Run! Run like Forrest Gump. And that's a joke, but seriously, y'all, run. Sometimes we just have to run to God's arms. And I know that sounds kind of corny, but that's the truth. God always gives us a way out. And that's what this text means. You know, here's what's amazing about Jesus and about God's grace. Many times we fall short. Sometimes we fall hard. And our lives are shattered. But listen, even then, know this, that God's arms are always wide open. And I found that when I've fallen short or when I've fallen hard, the best place to run is to the cross, not away from it. God always gives us a way back to the cross, to mercy, to forgiveness and grace, grace to endure. So come today to the cross, for we can't out-sin the cross. It stands above it all. But again, Paul says, be warned. Be warned, because just because we have grace does not mean that we should just keep on hanging out with the devil's company and keep on sinning. Flee from it. Run from it. Do whatever you have to do and we have to do to take the stuff to the curb that needs to go to the trash. In closing, I hope we know that that verse, 1 Corinthians 10:13, God won't give you more than you handle, is not about suffering. So let's not buy and let's not sell fake news. Paul Tripp said it well. The bad news is that dark temptations will greet you today. Today. The really good news is that by grace, we never have to fight those temptations alone. But if you are suffering, and if you have bought into that scripture of God won't give you more than you can handle, hear this, that God never said that he wouldn't give you more than you can handle. He just said he'd be with you through it. He promised that. What God did say is, when they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. Jesus did say, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest, for my grace is all you need, and my power works best in weakness. Remember, we are sometimes going to be crushed. We are sometimes going to be overwhelmed, even to the point of death. Beyond our ability to endure. We may even think we're going to die, as Paul said. But we can rely on God. We can rely on his grace. We can rely on God who raises the dead. Let's pray. Gracious God, we come before you this morning. Broken. Some of us are hurting. Some of us are living in the consequences of choices we've made. And we're so grateful, God, that we can come to you. That your arms are always open wide. We pray that your Holy Spirit would sanctify us. That you would fill us with wisdom and discernment, that we may always know where the tempter comes. And you would give us the strength and the willpower to avoid those situations. God, we thank you for your grace and your mercy, for your love for us. We love you, God. Amen.